And let's read the first three verses, but we'll pray read verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1, 2, and 3. Amen. Let's go back three chapters to 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's read and pray read verse 25. 1 Peter 2, 25. All right, one more. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. 28. Acts 20, 28. Well, saints, in this second session this morning, we're going to come back to a subject of shepherding that we have covered actually quite thoroughly a number of years ago, but we'd like to focus a little bit on this. Now, before we get into the fellowship in a thorough way, I would like to maybe give some context, some background or history related to this burden. You know, amen. In the churches here in Southern California, we have been laboring for many years. And we have been trying many new things, different things, all struggling over one fundamental matter. And that is this, that we still lose about half of our young people to the world. Sorry, just to be so blunt or to open it up this way, I'd like to open this up to you as something from my heart. This is our starting point today. Actually, the burden for all three of these sessions is for us to consider our way, for us to look at our situation. You know, this year, the Lord has really anointed a lot of our burden and service and fellowship concerning the work with the young people. From the beginning of this year, there has been a strong sense that we have to see where we are in time, where we are in history, even in the history of the church, in the history of this earth. Where are we? We're not at the beginning of the church age anymore. We're at the end of the church age. And everything should impress us that there's not a lot left. There's not much left to accomplish when it comes to prophecies. The prophecies could all be fulfilled very quickly. In less than a decade, everything could be wrapped up. When the Lord said, I will build my church, that was what Brother Lee called the greatest prophecy in the Bible. Still, maybe unfulfilled. Revelation 19 tells us that the bride made herself ready. We know when the bride is ready, the Lord will come. This also has not been yet fulfilled. We realize that as we go on in the Lord's recovery and in the church life, we're not getting any younger. I came to the church as a teenager. Now I'm not quite 60 yet, but I'm getting there. If the Lord still delays another 20 or 30 years, I may not be here. I really expected and I still expect that the Lord would come during my lifetime. Right? We were there. We were called for this. We were commissioned for this. This became the meaning of our life and the meaning of our church life. It was all for this, to end the age. We've talked about this in our serving once times this year quite a bit. Well, if the Lord delays his coming for another period of time, that means there's another generation that needs to be brought into this vision to have the same sense of commission and the same sense of destiny concerning who they are, where they are, and what their life is about. I believe this is kind of a banner that has to overshadow all of our feeling related to the children and the young people in the Lord's recovery. I mentioned this in the spring, I believe, of this year when we had the Serving Ones time. That last Thanksgiving in the conference, I believe in Chicago, on the testimony of Jesus. In message 3, you know, being rescued from the present evil age to be the testimony of Jesus, Brother Ron made reference to a generation of young people that the Lord will raise up like the earth has never seen before. The most absolute, the most clear, the most desperate group of young people. Well, when Ron shared that, of course, I haven't forgotten it. It is now written on me. This is my work. This is my mission. This is why I'm here. This is to labor to do that. Saints, I'm not here, and we're not here, to do a routine work and to do a general work, a work of maintenance and maintaining our present situation, because our present situation is far below the standard. For the Lord to gain that group of people that He desperately needs to end this age, we all have to enter into a different view and burden concerning our work on the children and the young people in the Lord's recovery. I strongly believe that that generation that Brother Ron was referring to will grow up in our homes, will be in our families, in our church life, in our home meetings, and that the whole church, not just a few faithful young people's workers, but the whole church has to enter into this and pick this up and receive this as a burden. Okay, so when we look at our, what I called our starting point, I don't believe in any place we're satisfied with the kind of result that we are getting from our work with the young people. And so I think that is enough to cause us to stop, take a day like today, to open up ourselves to the Lord and enter into His feeling and His thought, and also to examine our brother Lee's ministry. This year, you know, has been a year, at least for me personally, of going back to what we call the blueprint. Look at the blueprint again. Review what was said. Study it. Don't assume you know, because you don't know. And so today's fellowship is a review of the blueprint. All right? There was a... I want to give you a little historical significance to this outline. And that is, in 1996, in about August and September, Brother Lee called for some special co-workers' meetings. In these meetings, he asked all those, I believe, I don't know if the sisters were included, but all those serving in the LSM office downstairs to come up. Plus, all the co-workers were there, and he released 4 messages on 4 Mondays that were published in a book called A Word of Love. I'm sure you've seen this and heard about this book. These were messages given to meet a particular need in the recovery and a particular kind of situation. The situation was something like this, that the young people in the churches were being cared for with a kind of spirit that was critical, judgmental. He used expressions like uncovering, exposing certain situations. And that this kind of spirit, a spirit that was a little critical and judgmental, was spreading everywhere on the whole globe in our work with young people. And these messages became a discipling from our brother to adjust us, to have a different thought that the Lord, as the good shepherd, he goes after the lost sheep. He doesn't give them up. As he was caring for people, it was the sinners that were being drawn to him, and that he was considered as a friend of sinners. And the Pharisees were accusing him that he would eat with the tax collectors and sinners. Well, you know, I believe in those days we were all deeply impressed by the messages that were released. And we were also deeply affected, and we began to have a change. And I think that this spirit, this kind of spirit that was very prevalent at that time, I believe we all were helped very much by these messages to have a different kind of spirit and atmosphere related to our work. I'm not so sure how much to say. Certainly I was involved. I was here. I was participating in that kind of spirit. So these messages were for me and for all of us. But I took them very directly and to the Lord to have a change. I don't know about you, but I notice in the churches that the brothers and sisters have a hard time with the teenagers. Don't really quite know how to help them, how to relate to them, how to care for them. And often the feeling in the saints is one of criticizing. Maybe they dress a certain way or they behave in a certain way. And we may even feel that within us, we get a little agitated at them. They seem to be disinterested and indifferent. They don't see the vision. And they won't maybe turn. That they're bringing worldly things into the church by their dressing, by their behavior, by their friends. And all of these things cause us to have a certain kind of attitude toward the younger generation. And this kind of attitude, or what our brother referred to as a kind of spirit, is sensed, is felt, and understood by the young generation. And it makes it hard for them to stay around, hard for them to understand what we're doing here and to enter in. This is why we have this fellowship today. This fellowship, of course, is not just for the serving ones, but hopefully, as we are serving in our localities, we can help the saints to have a proper spirit in contacting the young generation. I also would like to say something about this year. There are three pairs of words that have been electric, if I could use that expression, energized. They seem to have invigorated our work and our burden. Three pairs of words, we've used them, gospel seeds. You remember all our fellowship about producing seeds of the gospel. All of our children, young people, when they finished children's meeting, they could go to the junior high schools as gospel seeds. We even had a perfecting conference at Labor Day weekend. Beautiful, lovely time, very precious time called gospel seeds. We want them to be on the offensive, not to be defensive. We like them that immediately after their salvation, they would begin to confess the Lord. And our next session is going to be on that. We're going to go back to this again and fellowship further on this point, so I won't labor there. But this, my point is this is one of the three pairs of words, gospel seeds. This has become kind of a banner or a trumpet, has really helped us refocus, and I believe everywhere this is being very eagerly received and practiced and even energizing. The young people are helped to not be defensive, but to be on the offensive, not to just try to preserve them, but to use them to gain their friends and things like this. The second pair of words is what we call proper humanity. I was just in the full-time training class, and we were on this quite a bit this morning. But this is the second pair of words that has helped to redefine our work with the young generation. We want to help them to build them up in their human life, in their humanity, to be a proper human being, someone who could contain God's economy and stand for the Lord in the evil day. You know, standing is so critical in a battle. Warfare always has to do with who's standing. The one who stands at the end wins. So it's very crucial that we help the young generation to have the kind of humanity that can stand. This is another one of those pairs of words that has really helped to redefine what we're doing. We're helping them to build them up in a proper humanity to stand at the end of the age. The third pair of words that we've used, and this one's been what we've been on this for a long time, is church life. The young people need a church life. They need to be brought into the church life. And we had a Serving Ones training in the last couple of years on bringing them into the church life through the homes, opening up our home meetings to also be for the young people, that the young people need to be integrated, blended with all the saints, not just always with young people. Often our work will just take them away and put them in a corner somewhere, and we take care of them outside of the realm of the church life. Doesn't mean we shouldn't have a young people's meeting. We always have to have a young people's meeting, but sometimes our work with them has segregated them and not blended them with the saints. Well, ultimately, we all realize that the net, the container, is the church life. The destination is the church life. And so we have to bridge them into the church life. This is one of those defining points related to our work with the young people, is that right away after they believed in the Lord, right away after they got baptized, we have to help them begin their church life. And what better place for them to bring their friends than the home meetings? You know, in a family, there's all ages. There's parents, there's grandparents, there's big brothers, big sisters, little brothers, little sisters. It's not all the same age. It's not all the same kind. It's a family is broad. And the church life is a great, great family. And all our kids, those high school kids and junior high kids, need moms and dads. They need a lot of them. They need grandparents. They need big brothers and big sisters. They need little brothers and little sisters, because we're in a family. And you know, when you're in a big family, I came from a family of six kids, but I know parents can't really raise more than two. So when you end up having 8 or 10 kids, what do you do? Well, you have your first two, and then they start helping you. Pretty soon they're raising the second two, the number three and four. And the more kids you have, the more helpers you have. And eventually the kids are raising the kids. Mom's, well, she's not sitting on the couch, but anyway, that's the way it works. That's the way it works in a family. And that's the way it works in the church life. We all take care of everybody. We're in a great family. And our young people need this. They need a church life. They need moms, and they need lots of moms. Because you know what? They stop listening to their mom, but they still need someone to nag them. Someone at least that they'll listen to, because they're not listening to you anymore. So how about if they had a lot of moms and they're in a loving family? This is the church life. And we end up raising each other and building each other up in the Lord, in the church life. These three pairs of words have been so good to define our work with the young people, even, like I said, electrify what we're doing. Has been very anointed and very much burden on these three pairs of words. And, you know, we're going to continue on this line, I think, for indefinitely. Okay, until we get through. In the churches, you know, when you try to bring the teenagers or high schoolers into a home meeting, sometimes there's a little resistance. The family says, well, we don't have a burden for young people. We're just burdened for the campus. Well, we have to help them to realize that those high school kids are going to be on a campus next week or soon. No, they need it now. They need a church life now. And to open up their hearts, open up their homes to receive high schoolers in their home meetings. And then sometimes they'll call up and they'll say, but we need a serving one to come. You know, we have some high schoolers coming to our home meeting. Can you send a serving one? Well, no, they're not going there like they're going to a young people's meeting. They don't need serving ones. They need mothers and fathers. And that's why they're going to your home meeting, so that you, brother so-and-so, could be a mother to them or a father to them. So this, we don't know how to release this burden into the churches. We do not know how to get through on this. But there has to be some kind of fellowship that gets through, that all the churches will realize that our young people need a church life in the homes from the beginning of their Christian life. Amen. Okay. Now, this is all things that we've been on for some time now. About, 3 weeks ago or a month ago, in one of the Wednesday night ministry meetings, Brother Ed was speaking about Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, the mystery of Christ revealed by the types in the Old Testament. And he got onto a point, and I still remember the outline point. It was talking about the first one saved from the cross was a criminal. I don't know if you saw that outline or appreciated that point. You know, the first one that was saved by the Lord in his death was a criminal. It wasn't a good one. It was a real bad one. And he was saved on the Lord's cross. I mean, while the Lord was on the cross, and he's on a cross. And they're both being executed as a criminal. Well, in Brother Ed's message, as he developed this, he was talking about how the Lord goes after the gangsters. And then that's from this book. In fact, that point about the first one saved from the cross is also from this book. So in order for Ed to write that outline and give that message, he was reading this book again. And the application is this: it's the young people are the criminals. Today's criminals in the churches are the young ones. They're the gangsters. And they're the ones that need to be saved. Well, as our brother was speaking, he got off on this point about taking care of the young people and shepherding them. And actually, he said, I have 2 points, and I'm very burdened about this. Well, you know, when the brothers, Ron or Ed, or some of these ministering brothers, they begin to mention something about being very burdened about something, it's worth taking note of, all right? And this is what he said. He said, I have 2 points. And then he wasn't sure which one to release first. But then he released them. This is what these 2 points are. Number one, that we need to learn how to love all the young people, of course, all people, without discrimination. We don't just love the good ones. We love them all. And not only that we love them, they feel like we love them. Actually, in caring for people, young people in particular, your feeling for them does not matter that much. It's what they realize about your feeling that matters. They sense that you love them. You can't just say, I love you, if they don't sense that you love them. Well, his burden was that we need to love them without discrimination. We should not distinguish the good ones from the not so good ones. And then he gave an example. He gave an illustration. If you have them at a conference or a meeting and they're memorizing verses, and some will memorize 30 verses and you think, oh, that's so wonderful, and you reward them and congratulate them. But then there's another one who can only memorize one verse or part of a verse. And we may have a different feeling about that one. And then there may be another category of people who have no intention of memorizing anything. And we love them the same. Even in his illustration, he said, you might have a conference where they won't even come. And then finally they come on the last day to sit in the back and to seem completely disinterested. And we may have a feeling about that. We may be agitated or irritated or a little condemning, like that. But he said, when we see them, we should greet them and tell them how happy we are to see them, so that they would realize we love them without discrimination. We love the good ones, not because they can memorize verses, but because they are who they are. And we love the naughty ones because we just love them. We love them the same. And they realize that. They sense that. And they feel that. Then he said the second point is, the first one is love them without discrimination. What was the second one? Help them to contact the Lord. That's right. Thanks. Praise the Lord for the body. Help them to contact the Lord. Help them to enjoy the Lord and help them to love the Lord. You contact the Lord, you'll enjoy him. You enjoy him, you love him. Now, saints, in a little background on this, in 1996, Brother Lee asked him to go to Oak Glen to speak at a high school sisters conference because we didn't have anybody, and Brother Dennis opened up to Brother Lee, who are we going to bring? We don't have anybody. And so Brother Lee said, Ed, why don't you go? Well, Ed, I had never spoken to high schoolers before, much less high school sisters. So he said, Brother Lee, what should I say? What should I tell them? He said, you have to help them to love the Lord. Help them to enjoy the Lord. So you know what he did is he got out all the books he could find when Brother Lee is speaking to young people. He read through all those books. And then he went back to Brother Lee again. He said, Brother Lee, what should I speak? I don't know what to do. What should I speak? And again, Brother Lee repeated, you have to help them to contact the Lord. Help them to enjoy the Lord. Help them to love the Lord. This is primary, saints, in our work with the young people. We always want to bring them together to the Lord, to touch the Lord. We need these two wires to touch so that the life-giving Spirit will get into them. That is the only thing that works, is if we contact the Lord, enjoy the Lord, and love the Lord. Amen? So, after that ministry meeting, I had a chance to get some time with Brother Ed. In fact, we were on the same flight to Cebu and also back. And so we were in the airport, waiting area. And so I was asking him, and I asked him about this particular burden. And we had several long conversations on this. And one of the things that I asked him, because he said he was very burdened about this, I wondered why. It seems like we crossed this river. We went through this in 1996. Why would we have this strong feeling now? And so this was his fellowship. He said, you know, in this year, we've been spending a lot of time reviewing what Brother Lee released in 1967. You know, gospel seeds and so many things like this. And even as we implement this, have this perfecting conference for the junior high, and in the churches, we're leading the saints into a kind of gospel seeds kind of living. We can't do that without this. In other words, if you're trying to do something to move forward, you have to, don't forget, 96. You understand? You have to read it with the glasses of 1996, Brother Lee's fellowship there. Like this. Okay, saints, we're gonna, actually, you know, sorry, I'm just a lot of opening words. Sorry, it's taking a long time. Personally, saints, I feel like it's taken us at least 12 years to get out of this, get out of that spirit. I'm not sure we're out. I believe that the Lord has come to us this year in a particular way, and that for the first time in over a decade, we have the sense of moving forward. I don't know, you follow me? It seems we're moving forward. The Lord wants to take a step with us. But while we're taking this step and beginning to have a little progress, we have to realize some of the kids are not going to go. They're not going to do this. They're still going to have a hard time with this. But we need to love them without discrimination. This spirit has to be the same. This spirit cannot spread over this globe anymore. There has to be a different spirit, a spirit of love. And of course, when we get into the outline, we'll get into this more. But this is, while we're starting to move forward, we cannot forget this. And this is why we're coming back to this point again, to develop and open up according to our brother's feeling. Now I asked him flat out, I said, Brother Ed, do you still feel that this spirit that Brother Lee was talking about is still here? And he said, yes. That kind of spirit. I don't know what he's basing it on. He didn't give me examples. He said, I've been in other places, and it's not like here. You know, I've been in the church life in other places, and it's not like here. And of course, this has been heavy on my heart, you know. As I was reading to get ready for this message, and it's in this book, he said, this is the main cause of our barrenness and our fruitlessness. This spirit. So as we're trying to deal with this problem of only being able to really gain half of our kids, then that's called barrenness, you know, that's like fruitlessness. And so I believe that what we're touching here, combined with this burden about gospel seeds, proper humanity, and church life, is dynamite. I believe we put these together, and there is nothing that could stop us. Every school will be wide open to us. Every situation will, it'll be more than we can handle. You understand? I believe this is a combination that is really unstoppable when it comes to taking care of young people. Amen. Okay, that's maybe good enough. I only have about, we're going to stop at 12:30 for our lunch, so I'll try to cover this outline in the next 30 minutes. Maybe if not, we'll continue in the next session a little bit. Okay? I would begin by reading a verse to you from Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Matthew 9, 36. And, you know, I don't have the feeling that we need to be rebuked or condemned, but I do feel we need to really open up to the Lord, to be examined by Him in His light, to see this. 9:36 of Matthew says this, "And seeing the crowds, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were harassed and cast away like sheep not having a shepherd." And the footnote, 36:1, in Greek, harassed refers to the sheep's being skinned by a cruel shepherd and thus suffering pain. Harassed involves being skinned. That means take their covering off. And of course, this was one of the points that Brother Lee was dealing with, is that our talking about the young people, exposing them, even, he said, this is our hobby. Come together, discuss certain young people by name, even discussing what they've done and what kind of things they're into. And this is, I believe this is really quite graphic. Harassed refers to the sheep's being skinned by a cruel shepherd and thus suffering pain. Cast away refers to the sheep's being abandoned by a wicked shepherd and falling into a distressed condition in which they are homeless, wandering from place to place, and helpless. Sometimes cast away implies you got rid of them. You know? Well, you know, our work with the young people, they don't measure up. Often they cause problems. They are disruptive. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to handle that. And so sometimes we skin them, uncover them, and then I don't want to say too much. Anyway, it's quite terrible here. The Lord Jesus' word here depicts a situation in which the pitiful Israelites were afflicted and in anguish under the hands of the chief priests and scribes, the evil shepherds. Anyway, all right, let's read through this outline together, and hopefully there's some light shining here, some help for us. Amen. Let's read the title together, okay? Shepherding the Young People. In His heavenly ministry, Christ is shepherding people, and we need to cooperate with Him by shepherding people. Of course, we can insert there young people. Without shepherding, our work for the Lord cannot be effective. Do you know when the Lord ascended, He entered into the heavens and began His heavenly ministry. His heavenly ministry is a ministry of shepherding. That's what He does. He's praying, interceding, He's arranging environments, but He's shepherding people. In John 21, when the Lord met Peter at the Sea of Galilee and recovered Peter with those three questions, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, feed my sheep. Three times he asked the Lord, three times. He was recovering Peter, of course, from his great failure. But, saints, we need to realize something. He was incorporating the apostolic ministry with the heavenly ministry. Peter's on the earth. The Lord will be in the heavens. And we need to do the same thing. What he's doing in the heavens, we need to do on the earth. That day, he was incorporating the heavenly ministry with the earthly ministry, and this is a work of shepherding. Who would have thought we could be one with the Lord, who in his heavenly ministry is shepherding people with his heart, his care, his concern? Aren't you so thankful to the Lord that he never gives up? Amen. He never gives up on us. He's always interceding. It says he always lives to intercede for them. Suppose I came along, or someone came along, not me, I wouldn't do this, but and told you, well, the Lord gave up on you. He stopped praying for you. You know, Peter was about to fail, and he said, you know, but I prayed for you. It's like, oh boy, I'm about to be tempted, sifted. But he prayed. Oh, wow. Isn't that good? Aren't we so thankful to the Lord? He never stops. He's like not disappointed. He just waits. He's like in incredible endurance. So Romans 2 says, shepherding is to take all-inclusive tender care of the flock. Shepherding refers to taking care of all the needs of the sheep. Of course, in the last session, in the first session this morning, the brothers were going through those 6 points. Two of them really emphasized the need for personal contact. Well, you know, shepherding certainly implies that, but to take all care, all-inclusive tender care of the flock is really mainly two things. It's to feed them. You know, when the Lord said, feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, feed my sheep, he used two words, feed and shepherd. Feeding implies nourishing. And what Brother Lee said is this is nourishing according to the inner life. That's how we nourish them. And to shepherd them is to care for them, all their needs, their whole being. They may have financial needs. They may have psychological needs. They may not be able to get into the meeting because they're distracted or distressed over a family problem. We all are the same, right? We are preoccupied and sometimes distressed concerning our situation at work, our situation at home, and it makes it hard for us. But if someone comes along with all-inclusive tender care, caring not for you just to function in the meeting to release your spirit, but really cares, coming down to our level to get into our situation to find out what's going on, that makes all the difference in the world. Peter charged the elders to shepherd the flock of God according to God. That little phrase, according to God, is such an all-inclusive statement. It really implies not according to you. Sometimes the way we shepherd is according to our disposition, our culture, our family, the way I was raised, you know, back in 42, you know. Of course, back in 42, I wasn't born, but, you know, sometimes that's how we want the young people, like that. It's according to our culture, you know, according to the American way, or the Chinese way, or the Korean way, or the Spanish way, or the, you know, we have our culture, and we shepherd according to our culture, or we have our standard, and we contact them according to our standard. Makes it hard for them. But if we adapt them, as we covered in the first session, by coming down to them and entering into their situation, rather than forcing them to adapt to us, oh, then we could not only shepherd them, but nourish them according to life, our inner life, and the things that we've enjoyed of the Lord. Amen. So A says, according to God means to live God. Wow. The shepherd according to God means to live God. Actually, let me read you that point. According to God means that we must live God. To shepherd according to God is to shepherd according to what God is in his attributes. That's our next point. To shepherd according to God is to shepherd according to what God is in his attributes. Well, we may think, well, you know, God is love. God is light, holiness, righteousness. Well, we might want to shepherd them according to righteousness, but you have to shepherd according to love first and light. This is to shepherd according to what God is in his being. To shepherd according to God is to shepherd according to God's nature, desire, way, and glory, not according to our preference, interest, purpose, and disposition. Hard to speak on all these words, but sometimes that's how we shepherd. We have our purpose, our intention, our opinion. We have an opinion about the way that girl dresses, or the way that brother dresses, or the way he comes to the meeting. And so, rather than, you know, you think about this, and of course we're familiar with this. This was released a few years ago, and this, at the time these messages were given, the ultimate shepherding was the shepherding of the triune God to become a man, to come down to the earth, to enter into our situation, to understand us, to be tempted in every respect like us, to feel what we feel. That is shepherding. And he came to lay down his life for the sheep, whether they received him or not. This is to shepherd according to God, is to shepherd like that. In order to shepherd according to God, we need to become God in life, nature, expression, and function, right? You know, this touches the high peak of the divine revelation. You think, well, you know, we're here with the young people's work. We really would like you to spend some time telling us how to do the young people's work. Do we do meetings? Do we do shepherding? Do we do activities? Do we take them to the baseball game? Do we take them to Disneyland? What should we do? You know, the brothers and sisters sit next to each other in the young people's meeting. What should we do about that? You know, there's a host of questions. Some of our kids have girlfriends. Some of them have boyfriends. What do we do? They're starting to talk. They're affecting others. They're going to lead all of them astray. What should we do? You know, and I get these calls. I share your concern to the uttermost. And I'm like you. I have no idea what to do. But anyway, when I read something like this, I think, well, maybe this doesn't apply. Or how does this apply? But I would really like to fellowship about the high peak in the divine revelation and serving ones. Okay, is that okay? You know, actually, there's a few points on here about this. We need to be the reproduction of Christ. You know, when these messages were released in 1994, God became man to make man God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. Have you ever noticed in your life how you're not God in certain things? Maybe you can say, I'm God in this matter, or, you know, I'm in resurrection with my wife and loving my wife, and I've kind of achieved Godhood, not him. But, you know, our attitudes, you know, our feelings, those little irritations, all those hosts of things, I believe he never felt them. I mean, you know, he knew everybody. You know, he's there. The woman is on the ground. She's being accused of being caught in the very act. They're standing there with these stones in their hands, and they're ready to just mete out God's righteous judgment on this horrible woman. And you know, the Lord, you know, in several places in the gospel, he says, and knowing their thoughts, knowing their, he knows them. He knows what they did. He knows they're not qualified to throw that rock. But he didn't accuse them. He didn't say, what? Don't you know who I am? And no, he, all of these little things give us some indication. This is my fellowship to you. And saints, we need to learn how to open ourselves up to him again and again and again. We need to open up our mind, our emotion, our critical thoughts, our condemnation. We have to open those things to the triune God, to his dispensing life, and allow the life-giving spirit to invade these parts of our being. There's a judgmental attitude in me. Even after so many years, I can testify, so many years serving the young people, there's still some of them that just, I want to grab them and squeeze them real hard. I need to open up to the life-giving spirit. To come in and occupy. I believe, saints, we have to pray this every day. Make me God in my mind. Make me God in my emotion. Make me God in my attitude, in my feelings, in the details, in the inward parts of this man. I need to become God. And it's not just directed, I could be really loving and tender to the young people. It's to everybody. It's to sinners, saints, young people, everybody. You can't become God compartmentally. You know, with one area, but it begins to affect our whole life, our family life, our marriage life, our job, how we drive. Become God on the 5 freeway. But why? We have to open up. Lord, I open up my driving to you. I open up this part of my life, my marriage, my kids, my relationship with my kids. Saints, I believe we have to be very aggressive and very active to pray this way. So that we need to be filled to the brim with the divine life, enjoying the triune God as the fountain, the spring, and the river to become a totality of the divine life, even to become the divine life itself. Do you know that when Brother Lee was giving these messages, message 2, shepherding people according to God, according to the Lord's heart, he began to talk about the divine life within us as a fountain, a spring, and a river, indicating the triune God flowing in us. That's where all these points come from. It's from this fellowship about loving young people, that the divine life within us is flowing into eternal life. That word into implies destination, the New Jerusalem. Awesome. We need to become God in his attributes of love, light, righteousness, and holiness. Not just that we need to judge the young people or measure the young people according to these things. We have to become him in these things. So we need to be the reproduction of Christ, the expression of God, so that in our shepherding we express God, not the self with its disposition and peculiarities. One time I was reading my Bible. Well, I like, you know, of course, through the Bible pretty regularly. I just go through it. And a few years back, I came to this verse in Luke chapter 6. Think of the young people.
I don't know why it made me think of the young people. Luke 6, 36, 35. You're going to laugh. It says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. That means just you love, you do good, you lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. This is the part that made me think of the young people. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Did you ever think the young people were like ungrateful? If you knew what I did for you, what I pour out for you, I did this, I did that, I served you, I got up early in the morning, I drove all over town. Ungrateful. They're just ungrateful. This says, well, he's kind to the unthankful and evil. You know, sometimes we thought they were evil. But anyway, in the crystallization of Luke, Brother Ron brought out something really precious about this verse. And it's from this little phrase, you will be sons of the Most High. In chapter 1 of Luke, verse 32, it says, and he will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. So you have the Son of the Most High, and then you become sons of the Most High. That means we become the reproduction of Christ. And this is what he is. He's kind to the unthankful and evil. So 4 says we need to become God in his function of shepherding the flock according to what he is and according to his goal in his economy. We are one with God. When we are one with God, we become God and are God in our shepherding of others. Sorry, not time to develop any of these. So Romans 4 says, we need to shepherd the flock of God according to the Father's loving and forgiving heart and according to the Son's seeking, finding, and shepherding spirit. We should follow the steps of the process triune God in his seeking and gaining fallen people. Our natural tendency is not to shepherd others, but to criticize them and regulate them. You see, this is the point that our brother was so burdened about in this message, is that, you know, the quickest, fastest, easiest way to get everything to work and in shape is to regulate it. You bring in laws, you bring in rules, you bring in, and then everybody follows the rules and it works. And he was addressing the particular situation in some corporate living where the young people were coming in late or they were doing things, going to the movies or drinking beer. And so we made rules. You can't go to the movies. You can't drink beer. You have to come in at a certain time. You have to go to bed. And his question is, what do you do if they break the rules? Well, you kick them out. Of course, that's what you do. You get rid of them, kick them out of there. And his point was, no. You have to shepherd them. Don't do it that way. So the easy way, the natural way, is to regulate them. And also he used the word expose them. And then you criticize them. Whenever we criticize someone, we lose the position to take care of that one. I don't know if you've noticed this in your life or in your experience. As soon as you have some critical feeling towards a person, you are disqualified from helping them at all. You have to recuse yourself until you are over that. You are okay. It's really hard to minister life to someone who you have some critical feeling about. Our natural tendency is to regulate others and place demands on them according to ourselves, not to cherish and nourish them according to God. So we need to have a change of concept through being discipled to have this divine concept, the concept that this is according to the Father's loving heart and the Son's shepherding spirit. Paul said, Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. That's in 1 Timothy 1:15. Okay, let's keep reading. Our shepherding should be according to God's love toward fallen human race. The fallen human race is joined with Satan to be his world in his system, but God has a heart of love towards these people. Amen. Brother Lee said this. He said, "Why am I spending so much time with you on this point?" He said, "Because we need to be discipled. We are all under his discipling, his training, his perfecting." Saints, I believe this is a great perfecting to us, and also a real recalibration to us, that this is the way to shepherd. This is the way to care. You know, I recently was getting into Luke 15, where you have the three parables illustrating the triune God's saving fallen people. And I was really, really impressed with the Father. The Father's loving and forgiving heart. Even when that son came to the Father and said, "Give me my share of the inheritance." You know what the next phrase says? "And he measured to him his living." That means he just did it. No argument, no threats. No tears, no crying, no stomping, shaking. He just did it. I'm amazed. "Give me my share of the inheritance." No threats. You know how parents do? You let him go. Just let him go. Hard for me to understand. Hard for me to believe that. I don't know. This is God. This is our Father. So you know why? So then when it's time to come back, it's easy for him to come back. It's so easy to come back because the Father didn't threaten, didn't demand, didn't. So it's so easy to come back. We have to make it easy for them to come back. We shouldn't just be so concerned about what they're doing, but rather, oh, it was easy for this young man to come back, and he didn't have to crawl back. You know, in fact, he had prepared his statement, and the Father interrupted his statement, and he ran. Of course, that's the real kicker. The Father ran, meaning he was watching, intently watching. And as soon as he saw it, when he was a long way off, he ran. So precious, so tender. We need to be shepherds, having the loving and forgiving heart of the Father God in his divinity, and the seeking, finding, and shepherding spirit of our Savior Christ in his humanity. Let's read point F together. Kind of. Being shepherds who follow the steps of the process triune God in seeking and gaining fallen people. Do you believe that? I believe that. Romans 5, we need to live a shepherding life, a life of ministering Christ to others in love for the building up of the church. This life is a fruitful life. In taking care of the churches and in shepherding the saints, what is needed is the intimate concern of a ministering life. You know, I love this utterance that Brother Lee brought out in 2 Corinthians 7. The intimate concern of a shepherding life, of ministering life. When he got onto this is when
he was talking about our fruitlessness or our barrenness, is that we lack the intimate concern. In shepherding one of the saints, it is possible that we may kill others. The reason for this killing, this fruitlessness, is the lack of an intimate concern. So I believe these two words, intimate concern, touches something very much needed in our work with the young generation, with the children and young people. They need mothers, nursing mothers, and they need dads, you know. A, the milk of the Word of God, the life supply of Christ, should be used to nourish the new believers in Christ, not to boil them. You know, there's a law in the Old Testament, in the ordinances of the law, that you can't seethe, boil a kid in his mother's milk. That's just too cruel. The mother's milk was not for boiling the baby goat. It's for nourishing the baby milk goat. In fellowshipping on this point, Brother Lee said, sometimes we didn't nourish them, but we boiled them in using the Word of God, which is the milk of the Word of God, not to feed and nourish them, but we boiled them. If we have the ability to carry on a work but lack an intimate concern, our work will be fruitless. See, there's that word, fruitless. Our heart must be enlarged to embrace all believers regardless of their condition. How fruitful we are, how much fruit we bear, does not depend on what we are able to do. It depends on whether we have an intimate concern. A ministering life is a life that warms up others. If we would minister life to the saints, we must have a genuine concern for them, a concern that is emotional, deep, and intimate. In this portion in life study of 2 Corinthians, Brother Lee pointed out how emotional was Paul in his care for the saints. And this qualified him to give them such a strong, adjusting epistle, 1 Corinthians. They could hear it, they could receive it, and be benefited. So we must shepherd the saints as a nursing mother and an exhorting father. B, how about let's all read point B. Love is the We must have the kind of love, this is such a sweet point, the kind of love to guard the dormant ones who think that the church condemns them, that the church does not condemn anyone. Rather, the church wants to see all the dormant ones come back. Brother Lee said, if they would come back, I would weep over them. You know, how many of our young people that have left have the feeling that the church condemns them, right? Without the Lord's mercy, we would be the same as the dormant ones. Therefore, we must love them. It all depends upon love. As the wise King Solomon said, love covers all transgressions. Because the church is a home, a hospital, and a school, we must be one with the Lord to raise up, to heal, to recover, and to teach others in love. We must come down to the weak ones' level so that we can gain them. We must spend what we have, our possessions, and spend what we are, our being, for the sake of the saints. Altogether, little three. Amen. You know, Brother Lee said that love is the most excellent way. Love prevails is the name of this chapter in the book, The Vital Groups. It's the way. How do you be a co-worker? Love. How do you be an elder? Love. How do you be a serving one? Love. Love is the most excellent way to be anything and to do anything. How about let's take a minute to pray with our neighbor concerning this burden, and then we'll have the brothers give some announcements.